when we think about during praise and worship, that those have gone before us are in the presence of the Lord praising Him. You know, we talk about, when I get to heaven, I'll be out there fishing, I'll be doing this and that. And now we come back on the earth, maybe in our glorified bodies, we still go fishing. I know the Master ate fish when He came back. But man, to be in the presence of God, worshiping Him, I mean, it's just, you know, His presence is here a lot of times. Can you imagine in heaven with millions and millions of believers? Oh, wow. Yeah, it's kind of, Ryan had the word in Carol, and then even Penny spoke there. It goes back for us today while we're still upon this earth. It goes back to a total surrender to Him. I was thinking, you know, when Carol and I got married, I think we had an apartment 11th and Orchard to start with. And she was moved in before we got married, and we got married, and I moved in with her. And, of course, it was like five rooms in this apartment. And I got in there, I was able to go in the living room, the bedroom, and the kitchen. But the other two rooms are hers. Now I'm thinking, well, come on, two become one. You know what I'm saying? And finally, I got to go in all the rooms. And it reminded me of ourselves, of Jesus, you know. Two become one. When we invite Christ into our life, when we surrender our life to Him, we become inseparable, should be. And sometimes we try to do the same thing. That's my room. Yeah. You have this and you have this part, loving Lord, but not that part. That's still me. My Friday nights are still mine. You know? And it can't be that way. It's all His. You know, I hear some folks, and maybe, I don't think I did much of a hobby, but, you know, guys, I'm getting married. Yep. But I'm telling you what, Thursday night's my night out for the guys. Stay your marriage away. If we get married with that attitude, then we're not married, you know? Now, there's nothing wrong going out. If you don't play golf or go shooting, whatever, you know. But when you say from the beginning, I'm getting married, but I'm telling you what, Thursday night's my night, I don't care, then we don't have the right attitude at all. And, you know, we can do the same thing with Jesus saying, yeah, I'm going to give my life to Christ, but I'm telling you what, I'm not giving up this part. Well, I'm sorry, then you're not married to Jesus, you know. We have a lot of folks out there nowadays that have a God of their own understanding and not the God of the Bible. Okay? Remember, in here is everything you ever need. You think of that. I mean, if I won't do it. I don't have it with me anyway. But if I had a wallet and I threw it through today and said, everything you need right there. And I've used this illustration before. And you took out a wallet and carried it with you, but you never opened it up. You would never experience what was inside of it. Or, if you looked inside it, man, look at all that. Yeah, right. Man, look at that. And if someone come up to try to take it away from you, what would you do? Would you not protect it? Because it is so valuable, okay? Our lives is the same way. If you're following Jesus and someone comes up and wants to take Jesus away from you, otherwise, compromise. Okay, hey, come on, let's do this. Now, you sit on the front row, so I always pick on people in the front row. I'll give you a heads up, okay? but when we start letting somebody compromise, do we just do this or surrender this? Folks, no, it can't be that way. You know, a lot of our issues can be that we have never totally surrendered our life to Jesus. You know, and that's what we need. I mean, He is all that we need. And He's going to be all that we have, you know. And then what we have, the world's going to need it. Because the world is slowly crashing down. We know that. We see the prophecy has been spoken. We know that times are, we haven't seen anything yet. And I know we're waiting, some of us are, for the coming of the Lord. But it's going to get really nasty while we're still here. Because I truly believe that during the nastiness, more and more people are going to be looking for true answers. And they'll be coming looking for Jesus. We're looking for something, and they'll be looking to find that Jesus living in you. But when we look at the Word of God, and we look at what Christ has done for us, we have to understand that everything has already been completed through Jesus. Nothing. He didn't have one thing he didn't complete when he was upon this earth. Now, I was sharing with you last week, before we communion, I want to share this, but Matthew 28:18-20, and we'll read it to you, or you can turn there if you want to. Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came close to the disciples and said, "All the authority of the universe has been given to me. Now go in my authority and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to faithfully follow all that I have commanded you, and never forget that I am with you every day, even to the completion of this age." All authority given to Jesus. And the Hebrew writing says, I give this authority to you. And maybe, I think the King James doesn't have it translated that way. There's a couple of them that doesn't have that part in my authority. But in the original writings, it was there. But teach him to faithfully follow all that I have commanded you. So it's one thing to say, "Hey, Christ, come to my life. I give you my life. I want to be born again." Or sometimes we'll say, "Hey, just say this little prayer." And you say this prayer, okay? But the next step is what? To follow Jesus. Follow his teachings. And if we're not following his teachings, then we're not following Jesus of the Bible. Amen? And folks, I know we live in a world where we compromise. And if you've ever been married, compromise is part of being married on certain things. Amen? Yeah, I heard the lady say amen. The guy didn't say a word on that one. But with the Word of God, there is no compromise. Jesus says in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Amen? He is the truth. Do we believe He is the truth? Do we believe He is the way? And does He give us life? Amen. If we truly believe that, we know that He is the truth, He is the way, then do we follow Him? Do we follow His teachings? Is He number one in our life? You know? We've got to check ourselves. Yeah, or do we compromise too much? Well, I don't really, I don't like being lonely on a Friday night. And so, I mean, I'm not saying this, I'm married. But we get to the point where we're saying, I don't want to be here by myself. There's no excitement or whatever. And next thing we know, we start compromising the Word of God. I know I shouldn't do this, but. And folks, that's very detrimental to a walk with Jesus. I mean, again, I don't want to go back to the movie all the time, but when you see the blind, and when he comes to the point where Phil gave his life to Christ, it was done. When he was baptized, he was buried, the old man died. He killed it, and let Christ reign in him. He got to the point, he lost everything. But what he really loved was his wife and kids. And that preacher who he went to a bar and witnessed to him a couple of times and he threw out and stuff. He said, okay, he ain't ready yet. But when he was ready, he led him to Christ and baptized him. The old man is dead. And when his buddies would come around to the house to try to get him back out drinking again, he said, listen, the guy that you're trying to find, he's dead. He doesn't live no more. He's not coming back to life. He is dead. There was no doubt in their minds when they left that Phil was no longer Phil that they knew. The old man was dead. They realized that Phil was no longer fun, like they would call fun. And folks, that's where we have to be in our own lives. We're going to follow Jesus, you know? If you come around and say, "Hey, Stark, you want to go out and party tonight?" Oh man, where are you going? Well, we're going to Downtown Tavern or Cap Blues or wherever you might want to go. Man, well, this little ball and chain probably won't let me go. You know what married life is, okay? But when I say that, then what you're hearing is, I really want to go, but my marriage life, okay. So what happened maybe a couple weeks later, or maybe when they find out I got paid again? You ever had friends come around on payday? Yeah. And next thing they come around again. Hey, Stark, you ready to go? We're going to go shoot some pool. Oh, man, man. Well, you know, I'm married. And they keep coming back around. Nothing wrong with my friends. I just don't live there anymore. But I need to say, hey, listen, I appreciate it. But you know what? My wild days are over. I am married. I got a lovely wife. That old Starkey is gone. Hey, guys, I wish you all luck, but don't come back around trying to get me out there drinking and stuff, because I don't do that anymore. That Starkey is dead. When you left, you realized, okay, you won't come back around. Maybe 6 months, 8 months, you might try it again, okay? Isn't that how the devil works? You get released from that sin. Woo, yeah, victory. And man, no problem at all with it. But then 6 or 8 months later, somebody will come back around, or he'll bring that temptation back to you, hoping that you're more vulnerable at this point. That, well, it won't hurt. It won't hurt, will it, Dixie? Not this one time. It won't, it will. I set you up, yeah. Well, okay? Put your back in mind, well, I can do it one time. You know, and I'm not getting anybody, but I smoked for years. If you smoke, that's between you and the Lord. But I quit on how many times? And I said before, quitting smoking isn't hard. Not starting back up is the hardest part. And I remember going 6 months. I had to quit, and my lungs were shot. And I remember going 6 months without smoking. And that was awesome. And my buddy of mine worked at the sheriff's office, and Brad put on a pot of coffee and lit up the cigarette. I thought, oh, that smells so good. You know what? I won't hurt. And I smoked for another 7 years, 8 years. Then I quit again. I went a whole year. And then I had a tragedy in my life. And what's the first thing I run to? My cigarette. Back smoking again. So I learned. Now I've been 20. Oh, wow. This is my anniversary. It's 26 years ago this Sunday. First Sunday in October 1997. I remember I laid in bed that night hacking. Couldn't breathe. Wasn't what you would call born again. Only prayer I knew was the Lord's Prayer. I must have said that 100 times that night. Got up. Carol went to church. You going to Newcomers Town, wasn't you? I think you went. I got up, went out in my kitchen. Pot of coffee. Cigarettes. I smoked a half pack of cigarettes. About noon, God spoke to me, this is stupid. In that moment, he took it away from me. Well, why? I mean, my desire, I wouldn't be here today. I was smoking 3 packs a day, plus my cigars, plus my pipe, chewing mail pouch tobacco, and I was rubbing school long cut classic. I mean, come on. I mean, but he took it from me. I couldn't give it up, but God could take it from me. And whatever you're going through, whatever you're struggling with today, get God involved. Cry out to Him. He saw the desires of my heart. And He set me free from that. Again, I'm not getting on TV for smoking. Hey, because if you're eating bacon, you eat hot dogs, all of them got chemicals in it. You work on your own temple. Amen? Amen? I could probably lose a few pounds probably, you know? So, yes, huh? Yeah, the old Starkey when you left. Amen. That was awesome. Yeah, John and I worked together at the sheriff's office for years, and he had to come in and say, "Is that the Starkey I used to know?" And within a few months, he gave his life to Jesus and born again. Now he's in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Yeah, you just never know how your life will affect somebody else. So, amen. Amen. That's just. But teaching us to follow Him. Yeah, and sometimes people get upset about that. You know? Do you want to follow Jesus is the question. If you do, then we're here to help you. And you have brothers and sisters there to help you also. You know? If I told you, hey, listen, I have decided to lose weight. And I am going to quit eating my donuts and cream sticks. Okay? If I share that, that's my desire of my heart to do that, and I go back here and I get a cream stick, and you say, hey, I thought you were going to quit eating cream sticks. I thought you were going to lose weight. Have you looked in the mirror yourself? Why would you say that to me? You ever do that? People get offended for something they told you they want or don't want, and you help them get through it, and they get mad at you. It should be, oh, well, thank you. Man, I fell into temptation. You know, go back and grab me a plum or something, eat something that's good for me. But when you say that you're going to follow Jesus, hey, it's awesome, but I'll tell you what, it's a daily routine or a daily walk. Because stumbling blocks are out there. The old man, you had a new spirit, but is living in the old man. And so it's like the lion in a lion tamer. It's always a struggle going on. That's why it's so important to be in fellowship. And don't be offended when someone says, hey, listen, I see this in your life. We should say, well, thank you. You know, we're the bride, amen? And I know that we got married 47 years ago. Oh, I remember standing up there now and seeing my bride coming down the aisle, white dress. Oh, man, awesome. But I know if she was getting ready to come down the aisle, and somebody walked up to her, hey, hang on a second. You got a dryer sheet stuck to your gown. You know how appreciative she would be? Well, because, man, that's, wow, it's awesome. And that's the way we are as followers of Jesus. When we see something in someone else's life, a brother or sister's life, out of love, we need to discreetly bring it to their attention. Say, I see this going on. What's happening? And it could be something completely opposite. Nothing wrong at all. Well, they might say, oh, yeah, you're right. You know, I'm starting to fall back. I need you to pray with me. But it's having that desire to follow the Master. Doesn't matter what's going on in your life. You know, I think Ray Ryan says, I don't remember now, during praise and worship, we get caught up. But in the middle of your battles, worship Him. Think of that. I kind of spoke of it earlier, probably, but it doesn't do any good. I've never run my mouth before and make any difference, other than upset people and maybe get punched. But when I lift up the name of Jesus, when I start worshiping Him in the middle of my battle, I'm telling you, His presence comes, and I tell you, and you get through this battle. Our enemy, the last thing they want to hear, he wants to hear, is Jesus. He wants you to denounce Jesus. Man, my life was pretty good, so I started following Jesus. I'll tell you what, I thought it was bad, but boy, it's terrible now. You know, I think we heard that once before. Maybe some people in the land of Egypt? Maybe, huh? Maybe God's people? I mean, God's people 400 years earlier had Joseph, had the warning. The fat cow and the skinny cow, you all know the story, right? We get prepared for it. And what happened? Well, they enjoyed the fat cow, if I put it that way. But they started forgetting who supplied it. And they started turning. And then they realized, oh, look at rat, and they started crying out to the Lord. Help us, God, help us. He heard them. He kept crying out. I said, okay, I'm going to step in here. And He raises up of a guy named Moses. Now, this is amazing. Moses, He sends Moses to rescue them from the land of Egypt, where Moses at one time was the Pharaoh's son, stepson, put it that way. All right, we're going to be delivered. And as God uses him to commit to do the first miracle, and Pharaoh didn't like it, he doubled the work, took away the straw to make the bricks with. And right away, what did people do? Man, we were better off without you. I'd rather have it easier to have the straw, but look what you've done, Moses. They wanted it handed to them. God took them serious. I'll come deliver you. But the first time something wasn't the way they thought it should be, they turned on Moses. Turned on God. But God didn't give up. Why? Because He knew they didn't understand. So we had miracle after miracle. We had the frogs, we had the gnats, we had the sunshine, the darkness. We had all that. The water turning to blood. And each time a miracle took place, it was building up His people's faith. Because the time was coming, they were going to have to cross the Red Sea. But the Paul But the key to deliverance came on what we called Passover. The tenth plague was coming. The death of the firstborn. And he gave an instruction. We all know it. We celebrate Passover every year. But bring the lamb in, the spotless lamb, into your home for 4 days. Observe it. You know, cut his throat. Hyssop branch. Put the blood on the doorpost. And even told us how to cook the lamb. Fire. And consume it. Then Jesus comes, and he's God's Passover lamb, the last sacrifice. We look back again at the Passover, the first one, and we see where stay in the house, stay under the blood, and eat the lamb completely. And the death angel of Passover. Well, if you stayed under the blood, but refused to eat the lamb, what would happen to you? Well, everyone who ate of the lamb, boom. They said they left. Their shoes didn't wear out. They had health. The old guys were walking out like the young people. Because they consumed. Well, they didn't consume the lamb. And I don't know of anyone who did not. But you could imagine, yes, they got set free. The death angel passed them. But they wouldn't have made it very far because they didn't have that energy. They had to consume the lamb. I mean, could you imagine somebody say, hey, listen, I'm not going to stay under the blood. I'm going to be outside. Hey, do me a, hey, Chuck, throw me a lamb chop, will you? Okay, I'm eating a lamb now. What would happen when the death angel came through? Wiped out, if he's the firstborn, right? Because it wasn't just about eating a lamb, it's being under the blood. And with us, with Christ, it's the same way. It's not just about taking communion, number one. It's about being under the blood, being born again, having that blood pay the penalty for our sins. Amen? Think of that. Then we consume the lamb. See, up here, we have grape juice, and we have unleavened bread that Vicky makes for us. That doesn't do anything. It's not magic, understand. Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me, that my blood is poured out for the remission of sins. My last covenant, everlasting covenant. And the bread represents his body. If we go back to the Old Testament, we see where it was to consume all the lamb. To eat of it. And Christ is the same way today. I'm going to read a section here with you in John 6:47, then we'll break bread. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread which come down out of heaven, so that the one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Then the Jews began to argue with one another, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So he who eats me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread will live forever. And I know you think, wow, that's kind of hard to understand. But really, who is Jesus? Yes, he's the Son of God. But Jesus is a living Word of God. How do you consume a book? Do you chop it up and eat it? No. Right there. You read it. So he says, to eat of my flesh, otherwise consume me. This here is life. This here is healing. This here is strength. Everything that he's instructed us to do, the power and strength is here because of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Now, have you ever went to the doctor, got a prescription, and you just took a few of them until you felt better, and you kept it just in case you got sick again? Well, I got one on this person. The rest of you guys think the DEA is here somewhere, huh? Sometimes we want to do the same thing with the Word of God. You get down and out. We've all been there. We jump into the Word. We find Scripture. Oh, we get raised up again. Oh, we feel better. And then what do? We lay the Bible down. We walk away from it, guys. Till when? Until we go down again. Can you imagine consuming this Word every day, letting it be the center of your life? Not just hearing it, but following it. It's one thing to read the prescriptions. Take 3 times a day, morning, noon, night. If you're lucky, yours says also take with food. Okay, if it says take your food, normally you don't forget to take the pill. God's Word's the same way. Can you imagine how our lives can be changed? That when you're having a tough day, you get with a brother and sister, and you say, "Well, no one lives close to me." You got a phone? You can text something, and share. Share the Word of God. I mean, it will bring you through. You know, a lot of you ladies live down the high rise. You know, you got a lot of folks down there. I mean, can you imagine the presence of God? With Christians living together? And you got an issue down there? They come together and pray? Yeah, somebody got a problem there? They don't know the Lord yet? They come together, "Hey, we're going to pray today." Can you imagine it takes place in your neighborhood? You got a neighbor that's really lost out there. The power of prayer. Speaking God's Word. I've got a great neighbor. God says, "I love thy neighbor as yourself." But you don't know my neighbor. But God does. I'll guarantee your neighbors no worse than you were before you knew Jesus. Maybe a different sin. But the Bible says that God so loved the world that He gave them the begotten Son, that those who believe in Him will not perish but have eternal life. God didn't come to judge the world, to condemn it. So why are we out there condemning our neighbors? They don't know Jesus yet. That's where I was at. My wife would tell you, I wasn't born with a Bible in my hand. Amen. But look at the change you made in my life. And look at your life. I'm telling you, He's there. He's there to change your life if you allow Him. When He's knocking on that one room that you won't let anybody in, let Him in. It takes a total surrender to Him. And the awesome thing is, this book is full of sin, of what sin is. Amen? And so we don't have to be blindsided like, "Oh, is that sin? It's right here." You know, sin is still detrimental to us. Amen? You better understand that. Sin, the wages of sin is still separation from God. Amen? The Bible says, I think Isaiah 59:2, I think it is, it says that sin closes the ears of God. That's why we want to repent. Amen? Doesn't mean you get born again. But I'm telling you what, again, I always pick on my wife. I don't mean to do that all the time. But, well, she's an example she used to. But 47 years of marriage, but I can tell you when I walk in and I've done something wrong. You know, she still loves me, still feeds me. But the communication is broken a little bit. Why? It's because I've hurt her feelings. I've done something stupid, not meaning to. And I just hurt her feelings. And sometimes it's hard to cover things up, right? So what I have to say, I knew what happened, what I do. And she'll share it. If she doesn't share it, how can we forgive? Amen? It's the same way for the Lord. God, I just don't feel your presence today. Man, I know you let me up there. What is it, God? And through His Word, He speaks to us. It could be something that you're doing wrong, or it could be something He wants to take you a different level and discover it here. We should never, ever be complacent with God. Wherever you're at today, tomorrow, you want to go a bit deeper. You want more of Him. And it grows in us. God, search me. Show me. Show me my heart. Is there anything in me that's against you? Show it to me. And He'll show it to you, but also, He's awesome. He'll show you the good things. Let me show you. Look how far you've come. Amen? I mean, none of us stayed home this morning because we're hungover. Amen? It's first of the month. We all got money. But we made it here. And if next week you fall and you come in here drunk, I'm glad you're here. Not glad you're drunk, I'm glad you're here. We're here to pray for one another. Because I might fall next week and I need somebody to pick me up. It seems funny in a way that the more people know you and you fall, the more they want to step on you. Man, I tell you, this is not one of us. Other than Jesus, I lived a perfect life. But we got to want it. Amen? And consume this. And you know, there's a lot of versions of the Bibles out there today. You gotta watch some of the stuff coming out. They're, we call it woke. I mean, they took the name of Jesus out of it. They don't talk about the Father. It's a mother. It's terrible. But there's a lot. I mean, there's a King James Version. That was the 9th translation to English. You had, way before that, Tyndale, we had a bunch of them out there. Then you have the NIV. You have the Living Bible. You have a lot of them that breaks it down very simple. Simplicity. And so get an understanding of the Lord. And then as it goes on, you get just, I want to understand more and more and more. You know, I see too many people fighting over different versions of the Bible. And we got to make sure, you got to make sure the translation that you're carrying goes back to the original manuscripts. It has to go back, you know. You don't want an interpretation of an interpretation because then it'd be watered down a little bit. And like I said, I had the privilege of doing a funeral here of one of our saints a while back. And it was a split service with Baptists. Okay? And I love Baptists. I mean, there's so many different versions of the Baptists, you don't know which one you recite anyway. But they got a lovingly thing with me saying that a King James is any Bible there is. I said, oh, okay, well, no, it's only Bible. That's the original Bible. It's not the original Bible. It's awesome. And I love King James because it's so poetic. If you want to learn the scriptures, King James kind of, they help me out with the word I want to say. Rhyme, yes, thank you. Yes, it rhymes, yes. But when I got, Carol got the Bible, she got me, I forget the name of it now, but the Living Chain. No, not the very first one in 1980. The Living, you know, she bought me a Bible in 1980 for Christmas, and I opened it up 21 years later. But it was very easy. When I got born again, I couldn't put the Bible down. Man. And I just pray that thirst still stays in me and stays in each one of you. I didn't know what John 3:16 meant. I didn't know what John was a book in the Bible. I'm sorry, God had to take me for a long way from the very beginning. But you know, just find the time to be in the Word. Find that lonely, that lone time. You know, with no distractions. And let God speak to you. He's still talking today. And we just need to listen more. But we're going to break bread this morning. And just remember that Christ died for our sins. His death. No one else has to die deliver you from your sins, except for who? Yourself. Amen. Amen. Whatever you're struggling through, He's the answer. Have faith in Him. You know, He knew you'd be here today in this world at this time. I believe it was like Esther. He was born for a time like this. God has a plan and purpose for each one of us. As we are followers of Christ, He wants us to grow stronger and have more faith in His Word. Too many of us here, we think, well, who are we? Who am I? Man, you're made in the image of God. You're born again, you're a child of God. And we see now that all authority has been available to you. Those things that keep you up at night that you've been praying for, you continue. Continue to hear the Word of God. Have faith in God's Word. Let it grow in you. We'll be sharing next week about the faith part. The more you hear the Word of God, the testimony, it builds your faith. What God had done in the past, He still continues to do today. Breaking bread together. If you're here today and you're visiting today, and you're from a different denomination, you're Baptist, you're Methodist, Lutheran, Episcopalian, non-denominational, communion is for the followers of Jesus. He didn't have a label on people. He says, are you a follower? You've been born again? Yes. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the gathering of the saints this morning. God, we thank You we gather here today. We break bread, Father, and follow the instructions of Jesus to remember that He is the last sacrifice, that we do have a new and everlasting covenant through Jesus. All through His blood we've been born again. And through His body and the stripes on His back, You brought healing to our spirit, to our body, to our soul. Thank You, Lord Jesus. As we continue to follow You, may more and more doubt be removed. May our faith grow. May we continue to die to ourselves and live for Jesus. May we be like You, Master, not to take things personally. As they lashed out at You and insulted You, You continued on Your calling. May we do the same thing, knowing the enemy is not flesh and blood. His powers and principalities, the thing that You've already defeated. So maybe we be Your enforcer to speak out Your word. Cast out. And set people free. All this to bring You glory. In Jesus' name.